violate the thing that all of us share, violate the treaty, what would that look like? These are just some of the operators in our territory. I'll try and wrap it up here because we're going pretty late. I'm going to share with you a story, and despite the fact that I'm half Dene, this I picked up from the Dene north of me. You know, again, we're a southern Dene. The Dene water heart, as I've read and learned about it, and I've been trying to find people to tell me, but no one knows where I'm from, so I've just been reading, is a story where a medicine man, and I'm going to try and pronounce his name, Kaye Dawye, who lived in Satu, which is Great Bear. He lost, a very powerful shaman, lost one of four hooks. And at that time, hooks were rare and dangerous. So he went and, in his dream, shape-shifted and took the form of a fish and went down to the lake. And in the lake, he found the great heart of the water heart. And it's the heart that beats and moves and shares the life of water with all waters. And they say it's up in Great Bear. Now, what is the law that comes around that? I mean, to my mind, that's a very simple expression of life in water. Now, I think that's a pretty easy way to extend legal personality in a way, because it has a heartbeat by our tradition. Why shouldn't it be given some kind of standing, some kind of recognition? It's not a mere commodity. It has a heart. What would that mean? But there's a dark side to this. So he found the water heart guarded by all the fishes. He was told to protect it for all time because that was the thing that gave the water its purity and gave the water its vitality, and that all waters come from it. And that lake's a very unique lake. It has a lot of significance, both from a scientific perspective, never mind the traditional side. But one of the last old medicine men, and this is a series done by CBC North back in the day, was talking about the Dene water heart and talking about Great Bear Lake. And what he said was that the hard side of this story is that the prophecies go that in the end times, the water heart will be the last pure heart on earth. It'll be the last pure place for water, and all the peoples of the world will come to the north for clean water. Now, what does that mean for law? What does that mean when we see long-term water license applications in Northeast BC upstream of the Athabasca and the Liard? You know, and I'm not asking you guys to buy into the theory and buy the hype and buy the myth and the history or the law that comes therefrom, at least for me. But I hope you can see at least the potential and the implications, because when you think about resource conflict, can you think of what it would mean for an elder when they've seen uranium mining and oil and gas, to the traditional sense, and now they see unconventional, and they see the water being taken and injected with chemicals and sand? What does that mean for the water heart? You know, what does that do? You know, and again, I'm sorry, I can't articulate this stuff really well right now. I'm having a hard time even understanding it myself, but I think there's great potential and great beauty in that idea. This little map here is from a story called The Last Great Water Fight in the Walrus, that storied and staid Canadian publication. Now, WAC Bennett Dam, already built. Site C Dam, proposed. Dunvegan Dam, proposed. Fort McMurray. BC Oil and Gas Fields, water heart. Look at this watershed. What does it mean? What does it mean if the water heart is true? What are we doing now? No, those Dene in the north, they've got their language strong. They've got some really cool things going on. And that causes me great concern. But I think there's potential there if only, you know, you guys and I, we could somehow figure out a way to translate these laws and traditions into something meaningful now. I wanted to go through the New Zealand examples, but I'm not going to, because there's a lot there. Oh, this is a fun slide, litigation strategies. I'll let that one go. Oh, there you go. Now, what I'm going to do as I conclude, I've been reading a lot of John Borrow's, as I do. Now, most of you guys have seen this, but I'm going to play this for you anyways.
My daughter and her husband brought him home. And then Grandpa was holding him and said, "You're going to be a great hunter, boy."
Anybody who can throw a hatchet and sue you is a force to be reckoned with.
I never thought life to be like this. And never once in my wildest dreams thought I'd be doing the kind of things I'm doing now.
The territory that I come from in northeastern British Columbia is one of the most heavily developed. First, they came for the trees, they came for the gold, they came for the fur, they came for the children, they came for the oil, they came for the gas. Then they started taking the water, and they're using the water to fracture the bones of Mother Earth.
Have to get back to those places where the wisdom was embedded and learned in the first place.
We believe there is sufficient water in northeastern British Columbia to support current and future unconventional gas development.
They are using and destroying massive amounts of water up there.
Places that people have gone and fished for years, they're not finding fish anymore.
These wells are leaking. This is going to ruin the groundwater.
We have much more abundant resources of gas than we had ever fathomed.
We've gotten to the point where, in our desperate need for hydrocarbons, we actually, by definition, inject poisons into the earth.
Almost every house, at least every other house, has probably had someone with cancer or someone in their family with major birth defects.
Kids, when they get exposed to chemicals, you know, I have a birth defect, 18 surgeries, 7 plates, 20 screws in my face. And this isn't a game. It's real people, real cultures.
They're the heroes, my elders. And they were handcuffed like they were dangerous criminals.
We have this perceived enemy outside, but our fight is not with that enemy. Our fight is a psychological fight.
Half of my family supports the industry and half works very actively against it.
My brother has to take care of his family, so he's up there too.
I think to some degree we are all fractured within ourselves.
How do we deal with two different worldviews and value systems existing in our behavior?
How do you defend your home when something much bigger and more powerful wants to take it and destroy it?
The reconciliation now is much bigger than just our two societies. It's about water and the ability we have as cultures and societies to mitigate our destructive behavior in the face of unknowns.
The fundamental question for all people, native and non-native, what kind of world do we want to live in?
If Canadians decide to refuse this impoverished vision of our country as the world's gas tank, we can be a game changer.
I want to be the tip of the spear, at least a part of it. Those are the words of a young man. Hold on, whoa. No, thank you. But aside from self-promotion and self-aggrandizement, there's a point to that. I was reading John Borrow's late last night in quasi-feverish state, so I'm kind of sick right now. And I read this phrase where he was talking about different theories of law, and he said, any law that doesn't include a story is not a law worth following. Now, what I've shared with you tonight is my hopes, my dreams, my theories, my fears, my shame, and my life, piece of my story. Now, my question to you is, does your law cause you to have an obligation as a result? Do you guys have an obligation now as a consequence of what I've shared tonight? As a consequence of what I've shared with you and the consequence of what we've shared here? As we talk about laws and laws as solutions to resource conflicts in my territory, now that you've seen, now that you've heard, now that you've taken a piece of what I have to give and I've taken a piece of your time, we've had a transaction, does your law compel this relationship to move in a certain way? And if it does, what might that look like? And if not, c'est la vie. At least you've had a discussion on the issue. So with that, I'd like to end and join me in thanking the Halkomium Treaty Group, Ruben, and Lawyers Rights Watch, and the Senior National of Vancouver Public Library. Thank you for your time.